We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
News Radio 1120 KMOX. Eric, you missed us. We're back. Yeah. This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
All right, it is 8:33. I'm Debbie Monterey, and welcoming into Studio B, it's Hancock and Kelly.
Hey,
good morning,
I got my buddy back.
Good morning, everybody.
How was Mexico?
It was awesome. I wish I could have stayed. I technically should still be there right now, but the NFL stinks and can't figure out its stuff. I was going to the Mexico City game.
Oh, that's what you went down there for.
Yes, so tonight I'm going to sit in a poncho and watch it on a couch somewhere.
Oh, well, sorry about that. Okay, well, it was, you know, the only thing we can count on in life is death, taxes, and change, right?
Yes.
Nothing stays the same forever, and it was 10 years ago yesterday. St. Louis went into a little bit of a tailspin. People were very sad because that was when InBev officially took over Anheuser-Busch, one of the most historic companies in the entire region. And in the decade since, the brewery has lost some 2,200 jobs, including upper management, which moved to New York. However, many former employees started local microbreweries, so there was the advantage there. John Hancock, reflecting over the past decade, how big of a loss was this InBev takeover?
Well, certainly was a hit to the city's image. You know, the commercials, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri, that used to run nationwide. Now they only run that in St. Louis, Missouri. The brewery came very close to acquiring Modelo. That's the Mexican brewery that makes Corona. And had they pulled that off, had successfully, they would have been too big for the InBev takeover. And when that didn't work, the writing was on the wall and they swooped. And the irony of that, of course, is that InBev now owns Modelo.
Yeah, I'm going to look more forward. I think that some of the things that have happened since then are great. There's no doubt it was devastating. But I think it's also a lesson for us to remember is we're contemplating new opportunities that a new Anheuser-Busch could potentially come here if we in St. Louis would embrace it. And I'm sorry to take this to soccer, but just watching some of the nonsense that's going on with soccer and the Board of Aldermen right now is a perfect example of yet another way that St. Louis is going to try to find a way to allow what's happening in the world to pass us by. Look, you know, we can continue to live in the past in this town, or we can try to embrace what we have and try to make a future. And unfortunately, I think we're more clinging to our past than really trying to find a better future.
Well, the good news is we do have organizations like Arch Grants and others who are building, helping to build new companies here. And they just had another crop of 20 or so.
No, there's a lot of positive activity just over the horizon here for St. Louis. And this could be an exciting period. The next decade could be a very exciting time.
It's going to require us to have a new outlook and and embrace new ideas.
Change.
I feel like every time somebody comes up with a new idea, we greet it with a ball bat
or that would never come to St. Louis.
You know, it's part of the reason we're stuck in a moment that we can't get out of.
I think for me, the saddest thing about the InBev takeover was that Anheuser-Busch was a huge, huge contributor of money to nonprofits and other organizations in this city. And you have seen that almost dry up.
Well, going back to soccer, we have the Taylors, who are some of the wealthiest people in the world, trying to put $200 million into our economy and build a soccer stadium. And we've got a couple of geniuses over at the Board of Aldermen who think they've figured it out, a better way to get it done. I mean, it's just crazy.
All right. Well, let's turn our attention to the president.
Oh, yes.
When the president over the weekend suggested California's wildfire problem could be solved by raking its forests, a number of forest management and firefighting officials took exception. He said, I was with the president of Finland, and he said they spend a lot of time raking and cleaning and doing things. They don't have any problem. Now, the president of Finland says he has no recollection of discussing raking. And, of course, the ecosystems in Finland and California are completely different. Let's start with you, Michael Kelly. Well, thoughts on his performance this weekend?
The facial expressions of Governor-elect Newsom and Jerry Brown, it says enough about what this guy was saying. I mean, it made no sense. One of the comments he said was, it seems like every time at a certain time of year, you turn on the thing and there's a fire in California. It's like, hello, dude. Yeah, this happens every year. This is the drought period that goes on. It was embarrassing performance for the president. John will come up with some excuse as to why it wasn't. But
and
I mean,
kept calling it Pleasure California.
Yeah, and I felt sorry for Jerry Brown and Gavin Newsom. These are serious people who've got their constituents in a bad place, and they have to sit there and listen to this guy say, oh, yeah, we've made a great friendship. They spent 5 minutes together. I mean, it's just typical Donald Trump.
Isn't Gavin Newsom the guy that used to be married to Kimberly Guilfoyle,
yes,
who is now
true.
Dating Donald Trump Jr.?
Yes, that's
how about
really,
that,
right?
For,
really
how about
awkward.
That for 3 degrees of separation?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he's the new governor of California, and his ex-wife is dating Donald Trump Jr. And as it relates to raking the forest, I am not an expert on raking.
A lot of raking.
Yeah, we know this.
Hopefully Georgianne's out there, though. We got a lot of leaves out in the backyard.
Well, that snow kind of hampered her ability to rake them up for a while.
It really has been
huh?
a problem, but I have great confidence in her ability, and I think she may be out there even as we speak.
We call that a deflection.
Absolutely.
She'd like to go to the next story.
Make America Daddy. Rake again.
Hey!
All right. Well, maybe it could be new jobs. I don't know. We'll have people raking millions of acres of forest. KMOX News Time is 8:39, and we'll take a break here. When we come back, a check of traffic and weather.
Overtime continues.
If you'd like to celebrate, I'd be okay with that.
On KMOX.
Love it!
8:42, I'm Debbie Monterey, along with John Hancock and Michael Kelly, the Monday edition of Overtime. And Michael alluded to this a little earlier, so let's just get to the soccer topic, because the first wrinkle has arisen in the effort to land an MLS team here. A group of St. Louis aldermen eyeing the tens of millions of dollars spent to redo city-owned sports facilities in recent years is pushing the soccer team partners to own their proposed stadium and its future expenses. We've been burned a couple of times before, says Alderwoman Christine Ingracia. She says, I think they should own it. Is she right about...
Explain to me burned a couple of times. You mean that we've had the Blues here play for 25 years and bring in sales tax dollars, bring in... But I'm talking about since we built a new stadium.
Yeah.
Since they've built in, brought in hotel nights, restaurant nights. If that's getting burned, then so be it. That's what this soccer's going to bring us. Yes, is this perfect? No. But I defy you to find another sports arena in the country that's being paid for like this. It's not happening. And here we are meeting these people with a ball bat. It's amazing that the Taylors or any of these families who have the ability to do this stuff even consider St. Louis when we come up with stupid roadblocks.
Yeah, I got to tell you, man, this board of aldermen, they never cease to amaze me in how just inept they are at getting anything done. I really spent the first 50 years of my life paying no attention whatsoever to City Hall, and I've been forced to pay a little closer attention the last few years, and wow. Having a soccer team here in St. Louis will be a big boost for the city. It will help our economic development. It will be good for the city's image. And there's, the only thing that's going to stop this effort right now is us. So hopefully we'll all get on the same page and get this thing
done.
And
I think the other thing we have to remember here is this isn't some billionaire's boys club of the NFL playing chess, moving around, going for the greatest. This is the Taylors. They just spent $20 million or whatever on this museum that's right here next to us.
Memorial.
I mean, these aren't people who are on a cash grab. They're trying to do something good for St. Louis.
They're like
What's
the opposite
crazy to me,
of Stan Kroenke.
Yeah,
this is,
exactly.
This actually
exactly.
will reside in Christine Ingracia's district. This is her aldermanic district. I appreciate that she's trying to be a good steward of the taxpayer dollars. But I think what she's ultimately doing is maybe being a steward of running away potential dollars coming to St. Louis with this.
All right. Well, let's talk about something else that has been painful to watch, and that is the Loop Trolley.
Good night.
My word.
I don't even know what to say about it at this point. I think we can all agree that we all love Joe Edwards, and he has been a genius
in
what he has done for the Loop. And But this loop trolley, it's been, well, okay. The latest is a bureaucratic snafu in University City that has the trolley cars turning around before they enter the entertainment district. So they're going from the History Museum, they get up to the University City line there, and then they have to stop and turn around. Apparently, the city's issues include placement of a pole and proof of a $300,000 bond. Now, when they did their little sample run, of course, last Thursday they had to cancel everything because of the weather. Then Friday they did a test run and they didn't get into the city because there was a shooting and the tracks were covered by police tape. Now they can't go into University City because of a pole. John Hancock, what the actual heck?
Yeah, I mean, this is a head-scratcher, right? I thought the poll tax was already ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court.
Right?
You know, they got to put a poll up. They had the test run, the first test run, and the trolley took the rear-view window off of one of the cars, you know, or the side view.
It's done that twice to trucks.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of money in this thing is all I can tell you.
It's not like we haven't had a couple of years to prepare for our launch date, right? We've been talking about a launch date for over 2 years, and now when we get it, it's not together. You know, I know Les Sturman, who's running the trolley company. He used to be with East West Gateway.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was on the east side doing some of the lock and dam work.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get him on this week and kind of just talk about what in the world is going on. It just seems that this is, in the grand scheme of issues that the trolley should be facing, some type of bureaucratic snafu in U City, that's inexcusable, considering
right,
some
City
of the major
just
things.
Now discovered
yeah.
that there's a pole in the wrong place.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Doesn't make any sense.
Certainly we can figure this pole thing out.
Yeah.
I mean, man.
Let's get this thing rolling already, people. I don't want to hear any more bad stories about the loop trolley. I just want it to work. Okay, let's see. Wallet Hub.
Yes.
Assessing all 50 states and the District of Columbia across 25 key metrics, including obesity rate, sugary beverage intake, and specific health care costs, found Missouri did not make the top states for obesity. Which,
hey.
I know. Yay for us. The top 10, Mississippi, West Virginia, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, Louisiana, Alabama, South Carolina, Oklahoma, and Texas. All right, with Thanksgiving coming up, you think we'll be able to push Missouri back into the top 10, Michael? Are you surprised by these findings?
I am, but I hope not. I hope this is a trend that continues. You know, when you travel abroad, you get to realize how fat Americans are.
Oh, it is unbelievable.
Because in the airport in Mexico, I mean, everybody was thin and stuff, and then you get back to St. Louis, and it's not St. Louis. It could have been Chicago, Atlanta, Houston, any city in this country. People are so fat. It's what we're putting in the food, and it's not happening to people in other countries. Maybe we ought to try to figure this out, and maybe it ought to be a national crisis. But then again, we got people dying with guns, and doctors shouldn't come on that.
You know, we would have been in the top 10 for obesity, but for Michael Kelly over here. I mean, he's lost, he's lost what, 50,
I've lost my butt.
60 pounds? And he has inspired me. To breaking news. Yes, to crawl out of the confines of the obese.
Do you have a deadline on when you're going to try to lose this weight by?
Well, my daughter's wedding. I was given an ultimatum by my daughter that she does not want fat dad in her wedding pictures.
Aww.
So, yeah.
Hey. That's kind of cruel. Are you paying for this wedding?
Yeah, I am.
Hey, I know we're getting ready to go commercial.
Yes.
At 9:05, we will be joined by the mayor of the city of St. Louis.
What?
Wants to talk about soccer and what's going on at the Board
good.
Of Aldermen. We're joining us right here on Hancock and Kelly.
Excellent. All right. Put a pin in that, and we'll be back with round three of OT. It's 8:49 at the Voice of St. Louis.
This is Overtime.
Don't you understand? We can't stop ourselves.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
#8:51, welcome back to Overtime on this cloudy Monday, November the 19th. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Michael Kelly and John Hancock. All right, Kim Tucci is sometimes a panelist here.
One of the greatest people in St. Louis.
Yeah, good guy.
You could talk to him for 3 days and not get all of your stories out of him. He's got a book in him. He definitely needs to write it. Anyway, we've talked about this with Kim many times. This is something he feels very passionately about. He is planning to meet with Missouri Governor Mike Parson to show him how the state of Georgia has embraced the film industry. He says last year the economic impact in Georgia was $9.5 billion. Now, we've had movies filmed here in Missouri and in St. Louis, but right now there's a bunch of shows and movies that are supposed to be in Missouri, and they're not filmed here. They're filmed in Georgia because we did away with tax credits. John Hancock, would you like to see tax credits return?
Yeah, I would. And I think it's good for the economy. I think it's good for the state's image. You know, back in, what was it, 1980, they filmed Escape from New York in St. Louis.
In the building I lived in.
Yeah, because it was so, you know.
The old Sporting News building. Yeah. It was bombed out.
Right.
And it had been through a fire, and they've filmed it there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. If you come into the Sporting, I don't live there anymore. But if you walk in, there's posters of the Sporting News that tells the whole story about how they filmed the movie.
This is a beautiful state, too. I mean, there's some gorgeous parts of Missouri. And it's a shame that they're filming the lake scenes of Ozark in Georgia. I mean, that's just wrong.
So there was an old expression that my dad used to say to me, is it takes money to buy whiskey. And it takes money to get money to come into the city. And it was Matt Blunt zeroed this money out. That we're not going to do this tax incentives. That's when we're on this big look. This is money that begets money. Of course, we should be doing it. It's one of the only industries that this country exports anymore, which is entertainment. And why we're not participating in it is beyond me.
I think that was our friend Nixon that zeroed that out.
No, it was it was Matt Blunt zeroed it out first. Then Nixon reinstated it and zeroed it out again. But they did it for that George Clooney deal.
Right. I remember that up in the air. That was 10 years ago.
Yeah, and I am totally down with taking a look at tax credits and seeing which ones are wasteful
and
which ones need to be reformed. But this whole blanket, like, we're just going to do away with them because if we didn't have the historic tax credit,
there wouldn't be a downtown St. Louis.
There would be no downtown St. Louis. And, we could definitely use, I mean, I think SAG-AFTRA members would be like, yes, let's please bring some more movie and TV jobs to town. All right, millennial households.
That's awesome.
I could be in the movies.
Uh-huh. Millennial households earning $70,000 or more will be the biggest spenders when it comes to pets. They spend more than an average of $183 for pet gifts. Now, I get my dog a gift, but I've never spent $183 on my dog for the holidays. John, your old dog used to eat everything.
Yeah, the old dog ate everything. The new dog, I just shelled out $5,000 for leg surgery. So he.
So Merry Christmas, dog.
Yeah, ho, 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 Gus.
Yeah, no, I'm not a pet guy. My mother has this dog, Molly, who I am in love with, but I am just not a pet person.
What kind of dog?
I don't know. It's a little mud. It's white. It's cute. And it loves me. It's the first dog that I've actually taken a liking to. Otherwise, I don't get the whole dog thing. I get that people are into it. But I watch people spend absurd amounts of money on their puppies.
Yeah. Well,
and then they yell at me, well, you're always going on vacation. Yeah, I don't have a dog.
Yeah, we go on vacation. Well,
or a kid.
Kids should have dogs. Dogs are the best.
I agree.
They are.
I love dogs, yes.
Dogs are awesome. Illinois State Fire Marshal Matt Perez wants you to keep your dogs away from the turkey fryer. Have you guys ever had fried turkey?
No, I haven't.
Yes.
You know what? I've never had it. You know why? Every time I've ever been to a celebration where they're frying a turkey, I can't get near it. Like, by the time I get to it, it's like this picked over carcass because people descend upon
it. Like a cartoon.
I got to tell you,
we did one for Thanksgiving a couple of years ago in the peanut oil. It's quite tasty. Quite tasty.
But very dangerous when people don't know
what they're doing. We've fried a bunch of stuff and the house hadn't blown up yet.
You're into fried food, huh? Not anymore.
That's right. I've turned over the new leaf.
A new leaf. Okay, let's see. Oh, we're wrapping things up.
Yeah, we're done.
I was going to do one more topic, but we will tell you what's on tap.
The
sponsored
mayor.
By Midwest Money.
The mayor of the city of St. Louis is going to talk about soccer and the trials and tribulations at the Board of Aldermen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.